Tech is all around us. It's always updating, competing for your attention. Cut through the digital clutter with the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing, the biggest tech stories and scoops from our reporting every weekday.
Here's your Money Briefing for Friday, January 13th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. We often talk about the efforts to close the wealth gaps in the U.S. that often divide people based on age or gender identification. A more persistent area of the U.S. wealth gap has divided people along racial lines.
We can talk about the lack of trust in financial institutions that led to Black individuals not necessarily leaning on financial institutions to build wealth and looking for other opportunities that potentially didn't compound in their favor, and also just not having the equity or the access.
That's Chelsea Ransom Cooper, managing partner of Zenith Wealth Partners. On today's show, we'll talk with her about the efforts by financial firms to address the wealth gap in underserved communities. That's after the break.
Flying cars, robot doctors, even living on other planets. Right now, the stuff of science fiction seems almost within our grasp. But making these ideas a reality? That's going to be an adventure. I'm Alex Osola. On the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast, we'll tell you about the science and technology that will transform the world of tomorrow. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
America's racial wealth gap has been around since the 19th century. It's not only prevented many people in communities of color from building their finances through investment, but also from passing substantial wealth down to the next generation. Chelsea Ransom Cooper is managing partner of Zenith Wealth Partners, which, like many independent financial firms, is focused on helping those who've been underserved by the wealth management industry. Chelsea, thank you very much for being with us.
JR, thank you for having me.
So, Chelsea, the median white family has about 8 times the wealth of the median Black family, according to data from the Federal Reserve. What does that look like day to day for communities of color?
Day to day, this really, you can see this in the expenses that they have, but also you can see this specifically in their net worth. So specifically as an advisor who works with wealth accumulators who are building wealth, and they're trying to make sure they're making smart and impactful financial decisions, we can see that they're faced with the challenge of, okay, how do I make sure I cover my necessary expenses on a daily basis versus putting money towards investing and growing my assets? So because they have to make that kind of decision pretty quickly and they don't have the assets to or the flexibility, it can be pretty challenging to help them continue to build wealth.
Now, we've talked on the show before about some of the historical reasons behind these sorts of racial disparities in people's finances. But what's your view on why this issue has been around for so long and is still around?
So, JR, we can specifically talk about the challenges that people of color and specifically Black people have faced as they've tried to build wealth. You know, we can talk about redlining, which happened specifically in the past, which hindered Black people from purchasing homes. We can talk about the lack of trust in financial institutions that led to Black individuals not necessarily leaning on financial institutions to build wealth and looking for other opportunities that potentially didn't compound in their favor, and also just not having the equity or the access. So all of that has compounded over decades, if not centuries, which has led to the challenges where now we're seeing Black families who are ready to make the steps, but unfortunately, they're still playing catch up from years and years of miscompounded growth.
All right, so let's talk about ways that financial firms like yours are trying to serve communities of color and create a connection. You know, you mentioned a moment ago there's a level of mistrust. How do you try to overcome that?
So I think that's exactly why firms like our Zenith Wealth Partners and also similarly other firms are incredibly important, because habitually we know that specifically Black consumers and Black individuals have been underserved by the wealth management industry because there's been a lack of equity and a lack of access when it comes to financial institutions. So specifically what we're doing is, number one, we're eliminating the asset minimum. Typically, a lot of wealth management firms have a requirement where you need to have X amount, potentially $1 million of investable assets. So we're meeting people where they are by offering fee-based planning. And then we're also investing in their education. So taking the time to take a step back and have conversations about why you should invest in a Roth IRA versus a traditional IRA, or, you know, why should you allocate money towards a retirement account or towards a 529, or where should your savings be since interest rates are high, and how you can lean on a high yield savings account. But also the best way that we're building that trust is by also understanding some of the cultural nuances, right? So specifically understanding that potentially tithing is really important if your church is something that you really are engaged with, and also supporting other family members who may not have the same access to financial knowledge or to a financial advisor that you have. So leading from that place and understanding that we have to improve access to financial professionals that can empathize and understand the cultural nuances will allow us to create more equity and access. And that's exactly what we're trying to do at Zenith.
What are you hearing from people in communities of color in terms of them wanting to be invested in the market?
I was actually reading another study by Ariel on the Black Investor Survey that they recently put out for 2022, where stock market participation has increased significantly among younger Black individuals who are eager to invest and want to learn about how they can accrue and build wealth. And it's significantly grown from 2020 to 2022. I can also speak on behalf of our firm at Zenith, where we've had hundreds of clients who have come to us specifically saying that they're looking for a firm just like ours, where they can have conversations about how they can be invested and how they can have a trusted advocate in their corner. So it's been really exciting to see that, number one, we're able to provide the guidance and support that we know we can, but also the demand has really been there in the market as well. And that's the really unique thing about being a financial planner or a fee-based financial planner is we're having the education, the conversation about the stock market, but we're also talking about other investing strategies. We don't shy away from conversations around investing through real estate and how to add that to your financial plan, or understanding if there's other opportunities to build a business and potentially look for investors in that capacity as well. We really think that's the goal of having a true comprehensive financial plan and to give that level of advice that we haven't seen too frequently in the past.
But is there a feeling of intimidation with regard to working with a financial professional? And how do you work with that to unlock someone's financial potential?
When it comes to that intimidation, you bring up a great point, JR, which is why we really like to start to focus on education. A lot of our clients were the first financial professional they've ever spoke to. So we have to take a step back and have the conversation about the why behind everything that we're doing. What we've noticed is when we bring the why to what's important to them and we're able to tie those together, that's what builds trust. That's what builds confidence in us as an advisor and in our services. And then we slowly start to see their shoulders kind of come back as we're having the conversation. And we can tell that they know that they have somebody in their corner who truly just wants to see them succeed.
You know, earlier you mentioned the fact that you oftentimes talk about things like 401ks and 529s and investment vehicles like that. And we often hear about the term financial literacy, understanding financial terms and how finances work. What areas of financial literacy do you focus on most when you're working with communities of color?
When it comes to financial literacy, we really are focusing on some of the technical aspects of financial planning. So I would say we're really focusing on estate planning and understanding why that's really important to have that will, power of attorney, and that trust, because a lot of our clients come to us and they say, I want to build generational wealth. How can I do that when I don't necessarily know where my assets are going? That's the first step. So we like to start there from a financial literacy standpoint, but also educating them on how the stock market works. We've experienced a lot of volatility over the past year. So understanding that the stock market doesn't just go up, that there are going to be points where we're experiencing volatility, but it's okay because it's aligned with your long-term growth. So having that patience to walk them through that and explain why those things are happening is part of the financial literacy, on top of the other things we're doing in regard to budgeting, cash flow, and then where we're allocating their funds to make sure we're maximizing their growth potential. What really drove us to join this profession was we noticed there was a gap where we would specifically see friends or family members really coming into financial hardship and not having anywhere to lean. Specifically for myself, I was actually a marketing major, but I started to notice friends and family were having trouble with their finances, and I automatically had a knack because I was in business school. So I decided to actually make a transition and a pivot towards finance because I wanted to be a resource and be the help that I didn't see anyone directly in my community or in my network be able to offer them. So that's really what led me into the financial planning profession. And as I have mentored other individuals who have joined this profession, I've noticed that similar drive where they notice kind of this inflection point or this frustration where somebody in their family runs into a financial hardship or they have a financial disconnect where they're not able to afford something, potentially lose their home, they get drowned in potential debt, and they don't know how to get out of it, and they don't have anyone to lean on. And that's really the inflection point when people say, I want to be that change. I want to be that individual that can provide that advice, that expertise, so this doesn't have to happen to anyone again. And I think that's what really motivates specifically myself and us at Zenith every day, is we remember that moment where we were so frustrated because we couldn't do anything and we felt helpless, and we don't want other people to feel that way.
All right, that's Chelsea Ransom Cooper, Managing Partner of Zenith Wealth Partners, with us. Chelsea, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, JR.
And before we go, a quick programming note. We'll be off on Monday for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, but we'll be back on Tuesday with a new episode of Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
And close to home.
The red-hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
Of course, a lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.